was the ice cream
truck. Really? All right. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? I'd like you to turn, please, to Romans. Romans chapter 1 is where I think we're going to get started. I thought that we would take a look at the day, or one day, I guess it was the first day, that Jesus Christ was in his new resurrected body. The resurrection is, it's really the linchpin of Christianity. If there is no resurrection, there's no Christ. There's no forgiveness. There's no life, spirit life. There's no eternal life. Isn't that something? It all hinges on the resurrection. There's a record in, I think it's John, I can't remember if it's John 5 or John 8. But Jesus Christ talks about bearing witness. And that how he didn't bear witness of himself, but John had bore witness of him. God had borne witness of him. His works bore witness as to who he was. I mean, there was a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." John received revelation that this is he. This is he of whom I spake. And Jesus Christ did miracles that had never been done before and did and fulfilled all those things that had been prophesied. But what marked him out was the resurrection. That was it. And that's what we're going to read about here in Romans. In verse 2 of chapter 1, or let's read verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son." King James says, "Jesus Christ our Lord." It's actually not in the text. It shows up later. I'm going to read it how it should read. Okay, I'm going to read 2 again. "Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared." That word "declared" is to mark out. He was marked out or declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that something? It's the resurrection that marked him out as that promised seed, as that man who would redeem all who would believe out from under what Adam, the first Adam, had wrought. It was the resurrection that marked him out. I want you to turn to Matthew. Matthew 28. Boy, there's a lot we can look at here. I'm going to consider a couple of different things chronologically. I think those of us who have spent some time looking at some of these truths and, you know, just studying the Word on this subject, that there are some things that are not included in some of the Gospels while included in others regarding this time. And in order to put it together, you've got to, it's, you know, you pay attention to context, to some different things. Because there's a lot of tradition regarding this time, regarding these days. We know from God's word that Jesus Christ would be dead for how long?
3 days.
Right, 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Now tradition holds that he was killed on Friday, and that he was raised Sunday. I understand why that is. Because the day that he was crucified was the day before a Sabbath. But this particular year, and every year, whenever there was a Passover, the day of the Passover was considered a Sabbath or a high day. And such was the case here this year, that Sabbath or high day was what we would call our Thursday. It would begin on Wednesday evening because their days began at dusk. I don't want to get too much into this. But the point is that Jesus Christ was crucified and 3 days and three nights later arose. That resurrection would have taken place what we would call our Saturday evening, okay, which began the day on the Jewish calendar. Okay. Our day begins when?
Midnight.
Midnight. Right. Theirs began at roughly dusk. Okay? So I just wanted to share some of these before we look at a couple of these records. His last words that were spoken, "It is finished, and then into thy hands I commend my spirit." And that which was finished was that which the Father had given him to do. We know from the word that he was buried initially by a man named Joseph of Arimathea, quite a man. He buried him in a sepulcher that was his, that he had purchased, even though he didn't live anywhere near there, and did a very simple, just wrapped the body of our Lord and laid him in that grave. No spices, no ointments, none of the traditional things. That actually happened later where Nicodemus came and then wrapped him in linen and then set a small linen over the face, which was the custom of that time. And there are many great things to glean. God's word is so incredible. You know, they wanted to get that body off the cross before that high day, that Sabbath began. Right? So they came and broke the legs of the first, came and broke the legs of the second, but they got to Jesus Christ and he was dead already. And it says they break not his legs. Because Jesus Christ was the Passover. It says in 1 Corinthians, doesn't it? And just as the lamb, that Passover lamb, not a bone of it was to be broken, not a bone of Jesus Christ would be broken as our Passover lamb. You know, just the accuracy of God's word is, it's breathtaking when you look at this stuff and study it. It's really something. But Jesus Christ was buried, and he was dead 3 days and three nights. And I wanted to begin here in Matthew 28. And verse 1 says, in the end of the Sabbath. Now, this would have been the weekly Sabbath on Saturday. This would be Saturday evening. The days ended in the evening, and the new day would begin. So it was in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. The word dawn is a word that can be translated dusk. The dusk or the dawning of the day was the beginning of the day, okay? And it was in the evening. The first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to gaze on the sepulcher. The word see here is to contemplate, to gaze on. Verse 2, and behold, this introduces a new subject. All right? The women did not witness what we're going to read here. They came to gaze on the sepulcher. And it was heading toward the evening, the beginning of the Sabbath, which would have been the evening. For how long? I don't know. Doesn't say. Okay? But one of these Marys comes back early the next morning, which you're going to read about. But here, with the words, and behold, a new subject is being introduced. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. That's a video that I want to check out. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as what? And they became as dead men. That was quite a sight to see, I suppose. Now, verse 5, we just read what is sort of a parenthetical phrase here. Verse 5 actually takes place the next morning. So it's kind of, it's a little challenging to put all this together. But chronologically, let's go and look at the next event, which is in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week, which would be our Sunday, cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and saw the stone taken away from what? From the sepulchre. Now this is early in the morning, on Sunday morning. She had been there previously with the other Mary, Saturday evening, to what? To gaze on the sepulchre. At some point they left. At some point after that, the angel came, rolled the stone away. Early the next morning, she's going back while it's yet dark and sees the stone gone. This wasn't a small stone, by the way, this would have been. And it was guarded by Roman soldiers. Nobody was supposed to mess with this. Unless you were an angel. So she sees the stone taken away. She runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved and said unto them, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. And we know not where they have laid him. In Aramaic, that we is the word I. Kind of interesting. I know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. He saw the clothes lying there. And the clothes, it wasn't like a robe, they were wrappings. The body would be wrapped. Okay? And then the only opening would be here, over the face, and they would put a little napkin to cover that. That was the custom, and then oils and spices and different things. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin, which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. It was folded in a place by itself. That's something. If somebody had come and stole a body, you think they'd fold the napkin? For as yet, I'm sorry, verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet, and the words as yet could be translated, really should be translated, until then. They knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home or own place. But Mary stood without. So Mary must have what? She must have followed him back. Right? The disciples ran. She came and told the disciples, he's gone. So, you know, Peter, and it's a boom, they take off. They take off running. Mary follows them back. They leave. She's standing there. So Mary stood without her, outside at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she saw two angels in white sitting. They weren't there when Peter was there. Those guys move pretty fast. Saw two angels in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, but didn't know it was him. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, if you've carried him hence, carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Isn't that something? And I think most of you understand that Jesus Christ, this was the day when they would offer the first fruits from the harvest. They would wave a sheaf in the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ would offer himself to God as the first fruits from the dead. The first of his kind. Isn't that something? He was the first fruits. He is what that feast was a shadow of. The first fruits of the harvest. Isn't that something? Of the planting. Of the harvest, rather. The next feast would be Pentecost. It's kind of neat when you put these things together in God's Word. The timing, just the accuracy of it all. It's just breathtaking. So I have not ascended unto my Father and to yours. 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Something. Now, I want you to turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke 24. And we're going to look at the second. We've just read about his first recorded appearing in his resurrected body. Luke 24 contains the second. And this was on the same day. And we're going to start in verse 1. Chapter 24, verse 1 says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how we spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. They returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now we find out who this was. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. At some point, after Mary had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these other women went to the sepulcher later that morning, and Mary was with them. But Mary had already seen Jesus Christ. That may have been the reason, or part of the reason, why they went, I don't know. But here's the thing, is they didn't understand yet what was going on. They had, you know, ointments and different things to prepare the body. So all these women go, he's gone, and the angel says, why seek you the living among the dead? Isn't that something? It must have been, you know, you put yourself in the shoes of these people. What a day. And it keeps going. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not, unto the apostles. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. Now, this is the second time Peter's running to the sepulchre. He went the first time with the other disciple. This time he's going, this is later in the morning, and he's going again. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? What are you talking about? What's happened? You know, it's really significant that his first resurrection appearance was to Mary. Just one woman. A woman who he had delivered during his earthly ministry. Isn't that something? And his second recorded appearance are to these two men. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And haven't you known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. See? But to these men it seemed as idle tales. They were there when all those women came back and told them. Isn't that something? And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were what? Open. What a moment that must have been. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to" who? To Simon. That's something. So somewhere along the line here, he showed himself to Peter. Something. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, "Peace." But they were what? They were terrified and affrighted. Really something. And suppose that they had seen a spirit, and he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Now watch what he does. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Hey, you got anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and he ate before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their what? That they might understand the scriptures. See? Jesus Christ is the subject of God's word. And he opened up their understanding. He opened up the scriptures so that they could see. So they could see Christ in the scriptures. So they could see what it was that had come to pass. So that they can understand what it was they were seeing. Because all of these things were prophesied in God's word. That he would get up from the dead. See? Isn't that something? You know, David prophesied of this. "Thou wilt not suffer thine only one to see corruption." Psalm 2. "This day have I begotten thee." See? Speaking of the day of his resurrection. It's really something. And that's what he taught him. That's what he showed him. See? And it was the resurrection that marked him out. That marked him out as he who was promised in the scriptures. That's right. And he said unto them, "It's written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And you are what? You are witnesses of these things. See? That's right. I want you to turn, and we're going to close in the book of Acts. You know, there were many appearances. We can read, or several appearances. I don't know how many. Maybe there were many, many, many. I don't know. But 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of some of these things. One of his appearances, it says he appeared unto 500 brethren at once. Isn't that something? At one time. But these first appearances, again, are pretty significant in that it was just one woman whom he delivered, those two on the road to Emmaus. And then somewhere in there he showed himself to Peter. It's really something. And he said that they would be witnesses. And you and I are also witnesses of his resurrection. Of that he got up from the dead. And it talks about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Well, let's read, start in verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days" what? "Not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel" to Israel. "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power or authority. But you shall receive power after that Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be" what? witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. That power or that spirit was received, we know, 10 days later. At the time that they heard this, they may not have understood, may not have known when that was going to happen. But it happened on the day of Pentecost when they received that spirit. In Romans chapter 4, let's close there. I'm going to read that. Romans chapter 4. In verse 24, speaking of Jesus Christ our Lord, who was delivered for or because of our offenses and was raised again when or because we were what? We were justified. See? We were justified. In Jesus Christ giving himself over in his death, he accomplished all that was required for our justification, for our righteousness. He paid the full price. That's why God had to raise him from the dead. Isn't that something? Because he accomplished all of it. And we are witnesses of that because we have that spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost because of what Jesus Christ did. And Jesus Christ, being that one that was promised, was marked out as he who was promised as the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. And because we have spirit, we are witnesses also. And we have proof of that resurrection. It all rests on the resurrection. Our eternal life, the lordship of Jesus Christ, all that we have to look forward to, his return. We're going to have new bodies fashioned like unto his glorious body. He was the first fruits. We're going to have bodies just like him. He is the first fruits of a new race of men. Isn't that something? And when that day comes, all of us will have bodies fashioned just like his. It's going to be something. And all that was accomplished, all that was accomplished by Jesus Christ, as God had promised. And with God raising from the dead, you know, it was, boom, he was marked out as the one. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. It's all about resurrection, the fact that he got up from the dead. That's why we have what we have. That's why we can look forward to what we look forward to. That's why we can manifest spirit now. That's why we can reckon ourselves to be dead, but alive unto God. See? That's what it says in Romans 6. All of that is because of the resurrection from the dead. See? So, yay God, huh? All right, I'm going to pray.